Good afternoon. Zechariah 12, 6 through 10. On that day, I will make the leaders of Judah like a fire pot, and a wood pile like a flaming torch among sheaves. They will consume right and left all the surrounding peoples, but Jerusalem will remain intact in her place. The Lord will save the dwellings of Judah first, so that the honor of the house of David and of Jerusalem inhabitants may not be greater than that of Judah. On that day, the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem, so that the feeblest among them will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord going before them. On that day, I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem, and I will pour out on the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. Imagine a world where the God that we serve, the God, our Creator, keeps His promises in the same way that you keep your promises, that I keep my promises. Imagine it. You know, there's a number of songs that we sing in this church. Even, you know, I went through last week's couple of songs that we sing last week, and some songs that we sing in the youth room. Every day it's you I live for. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Let there be glory and honor and praises. Glory and honor to Jesus. We will sing these songs on Sundays. Sometimes we sing them when we're driving in our vehicles. Sometimes we're sitting in our kitchen singing them as we're cooking. We sing them as they just pop in our heads as we go through day by day. And at the same day that we sing these songs, the same day that we go completely against what we just have said. Every day it's you I live for. Every day. But in that same day, it seems that we're worried more about ourselves. You know, it's when our alarm goes off in the morning, we can hit that snooze a couple times, and we can get a couple extra minutes. But also, some of us, you know, we've dedicated the morning time to spending time with the Lord and studying and learning and growing on our own. But we're willing to sacrifice those few minutes of studying and growing on our own with the Lord and studying the Word for a few minutes of sleep. But it's every day I live for you, though. It's every day. Let there be glory and honor and praises. Glory and honor to Jesus. But it's continuously the problem that we have. We continuously find ourselves worrying about, what do I think? What's in it for me? There's three things that I've studied some of these verses, as I've gone through the quote, pierced but not broken, there's three things that have come to mind. I think they're very applicational for all of us. The first one, we can have a hope because God's character is not like ours. We can have a hope because God's character is not like ours. We are selfish and only think of ourselves. It happens all the time. I mean, a lot of us, you know, as I'm getting older, you know, I used to think, all right, I just want to spend time with my friends as much as I can. I just want to eat as much food as I can. I just want to worry about these things. You know, and as I get older, I'm starting to realize that it's now starting to, my thoughts are starting to go towards, you know, I just need a couple extra bucks so I can put some money in the tank. I just need a couple extra dollars so maybe I can start saving to get a ring so maybe I can actually get married one day. I mean, our thoughts as we get older, and even as we're younger, our thoughts start to become on these things such as income and the things that we have. Some of you are sitting right now and you're thinking, or some people who come to this church every week and they're not here, We think, how many more hours can I get done at work so that I can have this for my family, so that I can provide this for my family, so that Christmas this year is great. We can have a hope in God because His character is not like ours. Like I said, we sing these songs and how we're supposed to focus on Christ and how we want to glorify Him in all that we are and all that we do. But in Monday through Friday, our focus is getting to work on time and leaving maybe a little bit later so that we can get a little couple extra dollars. So that we can have this or we can have that. Our character somehow revolves around, somehow this world, it just pounds it in our head that somehow we need to start living for things. We need to start living for that cabin up north. We need to start living for this new vehicle. We need to start living for this. But then on Sunday morning, we'll sing a completely different song. We can have hope in God because He stays focused on the main thing. He stays focused. We can have a hope in that. But some of us are great at studying the Word. Some of us are great at studying and learning and trying to live out this gospel. You know, it's impossible for us to have perfection. It's true. It's impossible. But if we are truly trying to honor God, we are striving for Christ-likeness in all that we do every single moment of our life. We are striving for it. We know that as we mess up here and there, as we fall here and there, as our words start to get stumbling, we know that if we're striving, if we're working hard, we are concentrating on this text, and we are constantly relying on the gospel and on grace to live, we are found in this category of obedience. Because we are striving. We are wanting to do this. As people who sin, this is our main goal, to strive for Christ's likeness. Because it's impossible for us to have perfection. So our goal is to strive. And even as some of us are sitting here and some of us are really good at striving for Christ's likeness, this is only possible because of the grace of God. This is only possible because of the grace. Wednesday night, I taught on perseverance to the students. And I taught them that, you know, the life of a Christian is about working hard, running, 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 running. It's a constant race. And the race does not end until you're either dead or Christ returns. That's when the race ends. And I tried to explain to the students that, you know, if we sit back and think about it, it's almost ridiculous. We have this King who has perfection. We have this King who's created everything. And yet it's still hard for us to follow this perfect King. I set up an example for them. I said, you know what? A lot of you have seen me play basketball out there, and I'm really good. All right? And, you know, a lot of you have seen me play dodgeball, and I'm really good. All right? But then I set up this example where if I was standing here, and Michael Jordan, or Dwayne Wade, whoever's your favorite basketball player, standing here, and we're getting like the Cornerstone Baptist Church basketball team together, who are you going to pick? And obviously, they laughed at me, because they know that I'm ridiculous, and they're going to pick whoever this professional athlete is. It only makes sense if we can sit back and somehow get rid of the sin in our life, somehow not think of ourselves. It only makes sense if we follow a perfect King who's got it all worked out, who's got it all figured out, and we don't have to worry about anything because He is in control. It only makes sense if you pick this NBA All-Star instead of me. But still, because of our sin, we will always pick the goofball who just looks like he can play basketball a little bit. We will always choose to go our own way. We always choose to do what we feel is best. And it is only by grace that we ever think otherwise. We can have a hope because God's character is not like ours. We can have a hope. You know, a lot of students that I come in contact with and I talk with, you know, they just... Depression is big. You know, students are just kind of like, you know, I want to have more friends, or my parents are always arguing, or whatever. They get bummed out all the time. It's because they don't understand, they don't realize the truth of the gospel. They don't see this hope. And I try to explain to them, listen, this hope comes from the gospel. This hope that you are looking for, it's not found in your friends. It's not found in that boyfriend or girlfriend. It's not found in your classmates or in what your parents are doing. It's found in this gospel. And I will try to explain this to them. But I myself still have to remember, it's only by God's grace that I stand here now telling them that. It is only by God's choosing me, saving me from my sin. We can have a hope because God's character is not like ours. Second, we can have a boldness because God will go through with His Word. We can have a boldness. How many of us struggle with being bold? How many of us know the verses of how Paul talks about being bold in proclaiming the Word? We know this, but it is so hard. Even not walking down the streets and evangelizing to different people, as like street witnessing or being a missionary and going to different countries. Not even that. But just being bold in your workplace. As all these guys maybe at your workplace, they are constantly talking about this show that you didn't watch last night because you knew you weren't shouldn't be a part of it. But do you have boldness enough to say, you know what? I didn't really watch that because of this God that I serve, because I know that is not satisfying, but this text is satisfying. Do we have boldness in the small little things of our life? No, we don't. We struggle to have boldness. Right when I got up here, I asked you to think of how this world would look if God kept His promises in the same way that we kept our promises. It'd almost be depressing. It would be scary. Because we know that so many times we've made promises. Dads, maybe you've made the promise, yeah, I'm going to fix the TV on Saturday so that we can watch our show. Or I'm going to fix the TV so that you guys can play your PlayStation. Or I'm going to fix this. But it's been weeks, months, that has not been fixed. That something has not been fixed. Or what about talking with your wife or your friends? You know, you and your friends say, hey, let's go out to dinner. Let's hang out. Let's get together. Let's catch up a little bit. But it's been months. And it hasn't happened. Just going out to dinner. Or what about the thing? I mean, something that I struggle with all the time is I find myself in my group of friends, constantly just being like the big mouth. And then, you know, I find myself, you know, my mother will be like, hey, you know, that wasn't really cool of you to say that to your friend. And I'll get all bummed out. I'm like, all right, I gotta apologize. So I'll go and apologize and I'll say, you know what? I'm sorry. I shouldn't be doing this. I'm going to start working hard and making sure that I treat you better. Making sure that I treat you with love. But then in the next month or the next trip that I take with my buddies or my friends, I find myself getting caught up in the same thing. So where does this leave us? Where do these situations put us? These situations put us in a place of feeling weak or feeling less. We feel like, man, I messed up again. Our sin is revealed to us yet again to where we are just almost depressed again. How can we have boldness when we feel insignificant? How can we have boldness when there's no way that we are going to live out what we are saying? How? We can have boldness because God will go through with this Word. That's why we can have boldness. Psalm 34. You know, as we're going through these different promises, it's important that we run through the Old Testament, when we run through the prophecies, and we run through all these different things, because We have to understand that everything in the text, every page, is about Christ. And this promise is continually going on. All right? We are at a point right now where we're studying the cross. We are studying the resurrection. And this was prophesied earlier, before it happened. Psalm 34 says this: "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him." As we even look through Psalms, it is so easy for us to, you know, we think about David, or we think about Solomon, we think about the writers of Psalms, and it's so easy for us to think, man, I need to be more like David. I need to be more like how Solomon was in his wisdom. I need to be more like Moses. And these Psalms are constantly referring to the Son. Constantly. He protects, God protects all his bones, and not one of them will be broken. Not one of them will be broken. The man that the Psalms are talking about is not David. It is not Moses, or it's not one of these great men that we know from this text. It is written about Jesus Christ. Every single page deals with him. And so we see this prophecy, not one will be broken. And so we refer to John 19, where it all took place, where these prophecies were taken care of. 19, verse 31. "Now was a day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the Scripture would be fulfilled: not one of his bones will be broken. And another Scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced." We can have a boldness because God keeps His Word. And we can refer to this text. The amazing thing about this text is that it constantly refers to Christ. We can look in Psalms, and we can look in Isaiah, and we can look in the New Testament. We can look everywhere, and we're finding that the same thing is being said about Christ. Give Him glory. He will fulfill the prophecies. He is who He says He is. We can have a boldness because God keeps His Word. But we still get caught up in our sin. We still think to ourselves, I can't do it because I did this. I can't do it because I messed up. I can't do it because I didn't stand firm and I messed up myself. And nowhere in this text does it say rely on yourself. Nowhere in this text does it say trust yourself. Look at what you've done with your life. You can go up there and you can lead them and you can do it. Nowhere does it say to have faith in yourself. It always says, look at Christ. Christ did these things to honor His Father, and that's why we glorify the Son. We can have hope because of God's character, and we can have a boldness because God keeps His Word. Last. You know, these things I'm saying, they're great for encouragement, and they're great to get us pumped up and ready to go. But what about us? What about our lives? God keeping His promises should change the way we live our life. God keeping His promises should change the way that we live our lives. Think about the things that you spend most of the time doing. Working around the house. Work. Many of us have a a wide selection of movies that we love to enjoy. Vacations. Some of us cannot wait for the next vacation. So we put in the overtime. So we make sure that we have everything set up so we can go on this vacation with our family or with our friends. What are the things that we are spending most of our time doing? What are these things? Now, you know, if we take these things, like the vacations and watching certain movies and hanging out with our family and working around the house, there's nothing wrong with these things. I mean, if you take them, you say, hey, let's just break them down. There's nothing wrong. But when they're our main focus, when we are constantly worrying about this, when this is the thing that constantly runs through our head, how am I going to get this vacation time for this? That's when it starts to become the wrong thing. That's when God's Word starts to become second place. That's when our lives, living for Christ, start to become something of not so much significance. Because this thing that's really important right now is making sure that I do this. Making sure that I have this. Now, I've read to you from the Old Testament. I've read for you the New Testament and how the prophecies are fulfilled. And so, to me, it only makes sense that I go around in Revelation 1 and just read a little bit real quick. To the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us, and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests, to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Look, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. See, we've seen how God's had these prophets to tell of Christ coming and what's going to take place. The silence, the garments, pierced but not broken. And we can have a faith in that, we can trust in that, we can live for this Christ. But what prophecies have not been fulfilled yet, but will be fulfilled? Which ones are those? Which ones do we need to start living and making sure that we are concentrating on this fact of Christ and the fact that it's not over with yet? Just because He died on the cross does not mean that everything is over with. Yes, the important thing has been accomplished. Christ has been sacrificed on the cross, and that is very important. And because of that, we can have boldness and we can have a hope. But in case you haven't noticed, there's still sin in this world. In case you haven't noticed, we are still living in a world that just there's problems. The goal of life is not to get to heaven. The goal of life is to glorify Christ in all that you are. And we need to remember that. Because those of you who work with people who are not Christians, who are not saved, those of you who come here who are Christians, God is going to get the glory, whether it's through obedience, when we give our faith into Christ, whether it's through that obedience or whether it's through punishment, God will get the glory. Philippians 2, therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is a promise. This is what's going to take place. We have an amazing thing in this word right here. When things go wrong, we can always look to it and say, hey, what does this text say about this? When things are going great, we can always look at this text and say, how can I better glorify Christ? We have to remember that just because we're a Christian does not mean our job is over with. Just because we finally put our faith, just because we finally followed after this Christ, we finally have said, I give it to you, does not mean that it's over with. We have to make sure that this life right now, we are striving, we are preparing, we are trying for obedience. So that in the new earth, in the new kingdom, everything will be fulfilled and everything will be perfect. And we have prepared for that. God fulfilled His promises by not breaking His Son's bones and only piercing Him. God is going to fulfill His promise by everyone glorifying His Son. Every knee should bow and every tongue will confess. Whether it's through punishment because of disobedience or whether it's through giving Him glory through obedience by giving faith into His Son. That is a promise. And it should affect the way that we live our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank You again. We thank You again for Your Word, and we thank You again for who You are and giving us an opportunity to have faith in You, trust in You. Lord, please don't let this Easter go by. It's just another Easter we can spend time with family and eat a lot of food. Let it affect the way that we live our lives. Let us remember who You are. Let us remember Your Son. Let us use Your Word for our guidance in all that we are and all that we do. It's in Your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.